Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The Big Ones!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to
The Big Ones.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions, ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself.
Will you like what you see, Adam Nee?
It seemed like you guys knew you were going to say that. Like, we were just chatting, and then you just started. It was, like, crazy.
That's how we do it.
Professional. That's what it's awesome. Like to be a professional.
That's amazing.
In 2019.
I want to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know your line.
Do you have anything memorized right now?
No, I'm terrible at memorizing.
Social security number, maybe?
No, I don't know mine.
You don't?
No, I've been looking for it. I do. I know it. I know.
Okay.
It's
you know
the
your
easiest
address.
To remember. I'd throw it out there, but
yeah,
it's a very, I got lucky.
555555.
Yeah, exactly.
I got lucky.
You know when you get your social security number and you're like, whoa, I got a good one.
People always say my phone number is bad.
Oh, what is it? 666?
No. Yeah, it's the devil's. No,
and it's only three numbers.
I know your number by heart.
Yes.
I know my boyfriend's number by heart. And then I know, of course, the police. But
what's that number?
It's 911.
Oh, okay.
But people say
1-800-DOMINOES. There's an emergency. Send a deep dish.
No, people say my number's not easy to remember. It's like a bad, like, string of numbers.
It, like, has letters in it and shapes.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't.
A couple exclamation points.
It's hard to dial your number because of all the letters and shapes.
A good number would be, I guess, like 213-698-9008, right?
Everyone is dialing that number right now. All your millions of people across the world are now dialing
that number.
That's
a good number, right? Because it's got like a few numbers. They all kind of like sixes and nines and eights and zeros. Like there's no fives in there.
Yeah, fives are bullshit.
Fives are bullshit. I hate writing the number five.
Yeah, it's an S, right? It's like a sloppy S. Or
it's
an
a
S
sloppy
with a spine.
S, and I always have to go and fix his top.
Yeah.
His top's always too meshy, and
your
I got to go.
Your teacher in first grade, Maria,
fix
the top of that five.
Fix his tube top. But what's a good number for you? Like if you
it would
were
be like 626-586-2656.
I think that there are two people out there in the world that are going to just their phones are going to be blowing up. I think I would at least encourage people to text photographs to those numbers.
What's a good number for you?
Well, it's always going to start with a four.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think four is smooth. It's like right in the middle. It's
tall. Like a jazz
yeah,
musician.
It's like you got your hands up and you're going like, let's have some fun. I'm a four.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be like a 4-8.
So it'd be a four.
It's like a 4-8-1-2-2-4-4-8-1-2.
It's funny because we all like keeping it within like three numbers.
I could do like
I think that's
a
just
756-2314. 756-2314.
It's not enough, but it's a good number.
Here's a bad number. 629.
Ooh.
I'm already freaking out.
I love that because I can do that math.
629. 5-1-5.
Oh, don't mess it up.
5-9-1-7-2-9-1. That's a horrible
number.
See, I can
do that. 6-2-9 I love because 6 minus 4 is 2. 6 plus 3 is 9.
Okay.
What?
This is how I remember things.
Is there,
so 629?
What do you taste it? She's got. Don't. She's gonna get into this.
Is that really how you remember numbers?
She's gonna get into her synesthesia in a moment. She always does. So hold on.
Do you have synesthesia? Is that
six
true?
Six is purple and four is orange and two is yellow. One is white. Five is blue.
A regular Mozart over here.
That's amazing.
Eight is grapes.
Consider doing just like a full numbers podcast where, I mean, you don't have to, because I know this is just like the really fun banter.
Give your bad phone number.
813-841-9586.
Oh, it's bad.
What about a phone number, though, where the area code is 778?
No.
Ew.
It's terrible. Any other seven digits?
Delaware?
Probably fucking Delaware.
That's truly the worst one I've ever heard.
Oh, here's my number.
Okay.
778. And you just stop the person. Yeah. And you go, I don't need your phone number.
I don't need your email address. That's the
and then his email address.
Yeah, what's your Instagram handle? 778. Yeah.
_Brandon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a DJ and a CEO.
Oh, God.
That's Brandon. God. That's Brandon. That's all his DJ
jobs,
and
all his
CEO.
Jobs are initials.
DJ by day, CEO by
DJ
night.
DJ CEO.
That's a good one, actually.
Hit me up in the 778. He keeps using it because he thinks it's
778. Oh, my God. What if someone had a 778 and then the first letter or his first number is 0? 778-029.
Is 0 ever first number?
You know what? I've seen it in robocalls.
I see.
Yeah.
So, Adam, thank you so much for being on The Big Ones.
It's truly my pleasure.
You're a listener, right?
I have listened.
That's always nice.
Yeah, so I'm not like in the weeds.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You came in.
I know that there will be questions and answers and chatting, and we're chatting. I don't do many of these, but I know there's going to be like some chatting and some talking.
Uh-huh, you
so
got it.
So that's what I'm prepped for. It's like questions and then talking.
You got it.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's questions, talking. Answer, talking.
We've broken down numbers, and now it's time to break down just the way that people
format
speak to
podcast
each other.
Structure.
Yeah. So, Adam, if you've listened, so you know that at the beginning of the podcast, Amanda, tell them what we do.
We ask of our guests to tell us one of their moral dilemmas from their life.
Okay.
Something big or small, wide, narrow.
Okay.
Are you a papa bear, a mama bear, or a baby bear? Is it too big or too little?
Something hot, something cold, something warm.
This is a I guess it's like medium probably, but this is real. This is a mama bear. This is real life stuff, and I'm actually very curious to hear what you ladies think about this or what you would do. Okay, so I'm a divorced person, which is hilarious and funny fodder for a funny podcast.
Well, they make. I mean, have you seen a Noah Baumbach movie?
Yeah, exactly. Laughs a minute.
This is life.
This is what happens.
Life. This is us.
This is us
on NBC.
Yeah, I've adopted some children, and I've got a like it's mixed race thing.
That's awesome.
When we first, my ex, just for anonymity, we'll call her Natalie Portman.
That's funny because it is Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Well, no one knows that. So when we first moved in together, this is about 10 years ago, we had a neighbor, and to protect her identity, we'll call her Meryl Streep.
Okay.
And that's really appropriate because she was very much like, just imagine 75-year-old Meryl Streep if she never had any success and was a hoarder and had a 31-year-old cat named Tonopah. This was our neighbor, and she was this incredible, charismatic, wonderful person.
Wait, was the cat really 31?
She said that. I don't know if I can trust her or not. She also said she was 65 and she was 75, which is a funny thing to lie about when you're 75, because it just seems like, oh, you don't seem like you're doing that great.
Right.
When you say you're 65.
Right.
And you look 75.
Yes.
Yeah. But she's this very charismatic, wonderful person. Natalie and I got very close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And we would help her out and clean her house and take her to lunch and all these types of things.
God, that's so nice.
And then, you know, we moved and away from there, but we stayed in touch with her and, you know, would take her to lunch and stuff. But Natalie would be off out of town shooting a show or something, and I would still take Meryl Streep to lunch and stuff. This relationship continued for like a decade.
What would you talk about at lunch? Would you ever feel odd, or was it just the conversation flowed?
It flowed. I mean, she'll talk about the neighbors who are trying to kick her out for feeding the pigeons, that type of thing. Right. And I'll tell her, try to help her manage that and to not, and to not, yeah, because there'll be little fights and stuff. And she was just in love with us. Oh. She was so in love with us and like that. It was the most beautiful love ever. And so she would always just ask me a ton about Natalie Portman. and so my wife, Natalie Portman. And so ex-wife now. And so anyways, this has continued for like 10 years. Now she's 86 years old. And I had not seen her since getting a divorce, since splitting up.
Oh, God.
And I made a scheduled a time to go see her, and she had moved from this apartment. She's now in a retirement home. She's very old and frail. Oh. And I had to ask myself, and this is my moral dilemma, and I want you to weigh in here. Do you tell this old woman who's so in love with your love that the relationship is over and risk breaking this old lady's heart, or do you just pretend that everything's fine and think, well, I mean, she's an older woman. Is there any reason to tell her this?
Oh, this reminds me of that documentary I just watched about the twins, and then one loses his memory.
What?
Have you heard about this? Uh-uh. And basically the moral dilemma in that is twin, the only person he remembered from his life was his twin, and the twin got to implant, tell him what his childhood had been like.
What?
And he faced a dilemma. Do I tell him the truth, or do I give him a happy childhood?
Oh my God.
This happened to me.
That's a good... It's a good moral dilemma.
We could do that one at some point. I mean, we're kind of touching on it here.
What do you think, Amanda?
I mean... we're all devastated by the divorce.
We are.
You didn't hide the truth from us.
You didn't tell us. We heard through the grapevine.
I felt like you're at an age and are hip to internets and stuff where it would have been impossible to hide it from you. I thought about hiding it from you and Meryl Streep.
It was a shocking... It was... And we can just say that I understand... that this will be heartbreaking to this woman because it would be such a shock to her.
So
how... I don't think you tell her. I'm sorry.
You don't think so? Are you going to see her?
Probably, well, not to give it away, I have seen her now. But I will probably see her again in the next couple of weeks and probably see her, you know... It just depends on how busy I am. When I'm really busy with work, I won't see her for 6 months. But right. If I'm around, I'll go see her once every month or two.
Does Natalie still go see her?
No.
Wow.
I just think it would, for me, it would be like I would feel uncomfortable. Oh, it's so hard.
Does Meryl ask about Natalie?
Yes.
Oh, I think you had to tell the truth. I mean, she's in her 90s. Is that what you said earlier?
She's 86.
86. This woman's been around the block.
Yeah.
She knows the life is messy and complicated. I think she can handle it, would be my thoughts. But I understand. I don't think there's anything wrong with not telling. I think that's called a white lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard because if you are seeing her more than just like once a year or whatever, and she is asking about Natalie, I mean, you can't, at a certain point, I think I'd just be like, look, we got to put the brakes on this.
I didn't really win the lottery.
Yeah. I'm not who you think I am. It's like the while you were sleeping kind of like, hey, I'm actually not his fiance. You know what I mean?
It's very while you were sleeping.
Yes.
But with no Bill Pullman swooping in.
Oh, and without
that.
He's
just kind of talking like this.
Oh, he's so great. Like,
I got to move. I'm going to start a moving company. And
oh, I love Pullman.
Now I'm freaking out like maybe I haven't seen While You Were Sleeping.
Amanda.
Oh, really?
You watch it during the holidays. It's a perfect Christmas movie.
Do you ever like just pause the podcast to watch a movie?
Should we put it on?
You might want to just put it on.
I'd love to cuddle up with some Thanksgiving leftovers and you two and just watch that right now and play hooky from All Our Work.
Do you like that movie, Adam?
I love it. I'm a real rom-com
it's
sucker.
It's so good.
Especially, you know, from the 90s. I don't think they make them, you know, so much these days. But and they're different. Now they're just Netflix movies.
Well,
but
now everyone's got a phone, so all of the hijinks are easily solved or whatever. Yeah. Like, people can't go, like, I don't know where she lives, because they could just ask, you know, their friends.
I thought you were going to say everyone has phones so you can get the spoilers to these movies.
No.
Like, you can't surprise me in a rom-com anymore.
No, in the rom-com, they have all the answers. That's why everyone's rating movies in the past, because that's when the answers weren't there.
For I think the greatest curse to writers has been technological advancements. Yeah.
That's why I write all of my things in the turn of the century.
It's an era you understand.
No one had anything, not even light.
Yeah.
So I guess just to boil down this moral dilemma, we're asking ourselves, is it okay to lie to someone to protect them?
Is it protecting them, though, Amanda? That's the other question I have to ask you.
I know. And what are you protecting them, or are you protecting yourself, is another good
question.
What's
the benefit of not telling her that she'll have this idea of the two of you in her mind, and that and but then what?
I think the idea is that you have this person who is she's a very elderly woman. She's very frail. I don't know how much longer she has. And I think that she's a very lonely person and lives inside of some fantasies.
Okay.
And that we fulfill sort of a fantasy for her. And to me, it's kind of the question is, it's like telling a kid that Santa's not real. Like, what's the point when they're still like 5 years old? That's maybe like mixed metaphors. But because I also told her that Santa's not real.
Yeah,
I always even out one lie with one truth. I was like, we're good, but Santa's not real.
How senile is she? Is it something where, like, she can't see very good, where maybe if you got someone who looked a little bit like Natalie to come in with you and just kind of be there?
Or even
there?
Just a large printout?
Yeah. She's quite blind, so I think I can
really?
Do that. Yeah.
That's one way, and just kind of...
You could put Maria in a wig.
Yeah.
In
my Natalie Portman wig.
Yeah.
From The Professional.
Yeah, it'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. I think that's really ultimately what this was for, is to kind of concoct an even better plan, like a real big lie.
Yeah.
I think personally, I would have to tell, because I can't lie like that. I just, like, my body doesn't let me, and I just kind of shut off, and I, you know, like, it just wouldn't be possible. But I think that lying and saying and not making a thing out of it, if she's like, how's Natalie, and you're like, oh, she's good, how was your trip to the doctor or whatever you're talking about, like, if it's just a little snippets of her wanting to know how your life is, then I would say, like, well, yeah, go along with it then.
I could only assume too, you're not getting super personal with this person. Like, it's probably just sort of banter, keeping her company, you're touching on, you know, surface level subjects, so it's probably not that hard to not bring it up.
Yes. I've seen her. Yes.
Dealt with it. Okay.
So
okay,
I went to see her, and I, to be completely honest, was walking into the place not knowing what I would do. It's also so exhausting to break this news to people. It's been over a year and I still have to do it all the time. And so it's just an exhausting thing too, and you just kind of like don't want to do it, especially somebody who cares a lot. And so I walked into the lobby and she was waiting, and she was sitting on this bench, and I hadn't seen her in a year, and she looked so frail, and she couldn't see me until I got right up next to her, and I just decided to pretend.
I think you did that. Now that I hear it, I'm like, absolutely. Because you would have had to go out of your way.
Yeah, I think it would have
been a very big thing to say. So it is the type of questions where she's like, what's Natalie up to? What she's doing? And that's a very easy thing for me to feel.
Yeah.
Say she just goes, she's shooting. She's out of town shooting. And, you know, and she'd love to see you.
And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
This reminds me, too. I think I heard about this on a movie it was in a movie or something where someone wakes up a person who is really old and, like, on their deathbed. They wake up and they think that one of their children is still alive who isn't. And it's like, do you remind them?
Well,
that
Well, if someone's like, where's Jack?
You just keep saying, he's going to be at the store for a long time.
But yeah, but truly, I mean, what do you say? Like, remember Jack died in 1972.
From what?
On the boat accident.
The
remember?
Boat?
The boat.
No, the boat.
You remember the boat went down.
Well, she didn't remember him or the boat. Shit.
Right, but like
she's
that's...
worse off than we thought.
Yeah, oh, don't tell her anything.
That's kind of similar.
Yeah, no, it is, Amanda, it is.
It is that. It's sort of that
It's
movie.
Exactly
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I think you did the right
I
thing.
Did too.
I think if it ever, if you go and see her and she really presses you on the subject, you can, you know, if you ever feel uncomfortable with it, you can be like, you know,
Natalie's dead.
Natalie's passed. Natalie passed. But yeah, it seems like for someone that frail, it's best to tell, update them on how they're doing as much as you know, and then continue on with the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, I felt conflicted in the moment, but, you know, I just don't see her or talk to her enough to
yeah.
feel like, I mean, we'll see if what happens next time I'm with her, if it's worth getting into it. But yeah, it's...
As long as Natalie doesn't go and spill the beans and then she goes, well, what, but Adam didn't tell me that. And
yeah.
then Natalie's
I think we
like,
could, I'll discuss it with Natalie.
As long as someone also doesn't send an anonymous note or something
yeah.
saying like...
Here's the other thing is that she Meryl Streep is so technologically like she's a Luddite. She has nothing. She can't
She'll
even use a cell phone. She when I will put like something in GPS in my car, she would go, oh, you are so clever. Like, can't believe I know how to do
wow.
that. So she's never going to find anything out from internet or anything.
Right.
Either.
Okay. Like, and there's no courses at the center she's at that are trying to teach her, you know, computer skills.
There's no
yeah. No one is trying to help her along in a way that could hurt my life.
Yeah. No, I think you're good. I think that
you
was a
good.
that was a generous thing to do, was to
just lie to,
a poor old lady's
yeah.
face.
For her benefit.
Yeah, we got straight to pigeons.
Because
yeah.
in the multiverse theory,
what's that, Amanda?
That there's multiple versions of this reality happening at the same time.
Okay,
you know, like okay, so right now. I don't know if this is the same thing that I'm talking about, but like, okay, so I have a computer, right? I'm looking at my computer.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you can't prove that to the people at home.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. And now I'm looking at you, I don't see the computer, so some people think it's not really there.
Well, we're actually looking at your computer.
Yeah.
And so you know it's there, but to
but you
me,
don't know it's not there.
I don't see it, so...
I don't think that's multiverse.
I think that's just like being.
It's perception of reality. I think.
Okay.
Oh.
So there's a box, and inside
it's a computer. It's a what's in
there's
the box?
A, there's a dead cat
okay.
in the box.
Okay.
And
this is multiverse. Yeah.
Now, until I look inside the box, the cat is not dead.
I like that.
Okay.
No, but it is dead. You just don't know it's dead.
Is it?
Yes, because it's
how,
in the box.
How do I know if I haven't seen it with my own eyes?
Because it's just his reality.
But is it?
But
she
then
raises a fair question.
But here's the thing. You are then perceiving yourself to be the center of the universe by going, if I don't see it, then it doesn't exist.
But aren't I the
is
center of my
universe?
Is there
any person that doesn't think of themselves as the
I'm
center
not the
of
center
universe?
Of my universe. If I was, this would be chaos. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
this...
you can be the center of your universe, but also like play by the rules of the universe that you've created.
I haven't created any of this.
Well, is it really a computer? What's in the box?
The cat. I'm.
Is it dead?
Things are going on around you. You're in the simulation, Amanda. This is The Sims, okay? And someone is playing the different characters, and the baby's crying, and you have to let someone go get the baby or whatever. But you're not. No one's the main character in The Sims.
778
Okay, well, agree to disagree.
No, there's different realities.
I'm just saying the woman hasn't looked, your old friend Meryl hasn't looked in the box yet.
Yes. So for Meryl, the cat is alive. And that's why she thinks it's 31.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense that she thinks that cat's 31.
She thinks cat's 31 because it's been in a box in her house for about 20 years.
At it.
Yeah. That's the house does smell.
That's crazy. alternate realities are very interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, color me interested.
Shall we dance?
We have to do our ask.
Oh, okay. Adam, we do this where we just, we implore people to rate and review. And if you guys are still on your damn asses, not reviewing, rating, and telling at least one friend, then I want nothing. I want nothing to do with you.
I totally agree. Not only are you an irresponsible podcast listener, you're just a jerk.
You're garbage. And can you say that to them, Adam, in some way to make them feel bad about themselves if they're not rating, reviewing, or joining our Patreon?
Yes. I think that there might be a different tactic here that you guys are not employing.
Okay.
I think it's better to be too cool for school a little bit and to say to everyone out here in the multiverse who's listening to this podcast, we don't care if you review it. There are so many people reviewing. Your reviews probably wouldn't be good enough.
Oh.
I bet that if you wrote a review right now, we wouldn't read it on the air. This review would be real poo-poo bananas and not cool. And we like cool stuff here, like the reviews we got from Robert Downey Jr. and John Stamos and Denzel and Scott Stapp from Creed.
These guys have been writing in.
And you know what?
Well, this is good because do you know what's crazy? Mm. Is that you guys shouldn't write reviews because you know who wrote a review and that matters most?
Who?
Paul F. Tompkins.
He did.
Paul F. Tompkins of the Celebrity of Comedy?
Yeah, Celebrity of Comedy.
Let's hear it.
He wrote, "Who are you to not listen to this?" And he wrote this on Tuesday and it's by Paul F. Tompkins. "Amanda and Maria are pure magic separately. Together, they are beyond magic and just plain irrefutable science. They are hilarious, and their rapport is intoxicating. The Big Ones podcast is the perfect expression of their comedy, their quirks, their thoughtfulness, and their humanity. So what if they are my friends? Why do you think I like them in the first place?"
And who wrote this?
That's Paul F. Tompkins, the king of comedy.
Oh, my God.
We have got to screenshot that and post it to Instagram right now.
Well, I can't screenshot on my phone anymore because my button doesn't work anymore. So now I have this button here.
And this is why you need to...
That's good podcast.
This is why you need to also join our Patreon. We don't care if you do, but Maria and I both need new iPhones.
Oh, God.
But also, don't you feel like with Patreon, it's like you're saying like, oh, $1 a month will get you the ride.
Yeah.
That's like, come on. Is there anybody out there who has the guts to give $20 a month?
No, you guys, none of you have the balls.
Does anybody out there have the cahooties to...
No one does.
Does anyone have the jumblers to actually...
You cowards.
Do $30 a month? This is better than Spectrum. You get all those letters from Spectrum.
I get so many letters from Spectrum saying they chose me specifically. And I read it and I go, well...
Yeah, handwritten, but this is better. This is better. I think that if you're going to do Patreon... Don't do it like you're on the JV team. Go ahead and give a cool $1,000 a month. And
be on the varsity, baby. Yeah. Why be JV when you could be varsity? When you could be a varsity player?
You want to make a hook shot over a really tall 11th grader? Give to Patreon.
But we don't need it. We don't want it. You know what? Don't give it. We're fine.
Keep your money.
Keep your damn money. Because you know what? You're too scared to give it.
Yeah.
You're too scared.
And I bet you're too scared to get that tattoo that you've been wanting.
No, the big one tattoo.
I'm sorry. I took it. I just know I'm getting people to get tattoos.
You wrote a review, didn't you?
I did.
He wrote a review.
I read that review.
And you did?
Well, this is the thing because we got this wild review.
Oh, shit.
And I posted it to, the diction sounds familiar. And I posted it to Instagram. And then somebody lurked into my DMs and said, might have been me.
I don't think I looked into your DMs. I was looking at your stories.
No, that's what I mean.
No, you
didn't hack my phone. Oh.
Somebody hacked my phone, probably. She doesn't understand how stories works. You think that for someone to see your stories, they have to hack into your phone. It's like, well, I posted this on stories, and then Adam clearly got my login and password, and he watched my story.
The stories are just for me. Those are my stories.
You're watching your stories. But Amanda, what did it say? Do you remember?
I was wild.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
Can, I mean,
we'll find it and we'll post it. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into our big, big one, okay?
Okay.
Everyone ready?
So are you? So sit tight and listen to these words from our sponsors.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back.
So, Adam, usually we find big ones in all different kinds of places. But this is from a book of Chuck Klosterman's.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's actually a really fun game of hypotheticals.
Sorry if I get very emotional. Be careful. Here we go.
Okay.
This is from Chuck Klosterman's Hypotheticals, 50 Questions for Insane Conversations.
Oh, dear.
So here we go.
You have a brain tumor. Though there is no discomfort at the moment, this tumor will unquestionably kill you in 6 months. However, your life can and will be saved by an operation. The only downside is that there will be a brutal incision to your frontal lobe. After the surgery, you will be significantly less intelligent. You will still be a fully functioning adult, but you will be less logical, you will have a terrible memory, and you will have little ability to understand complex concepts or difficult ideas. The surgery is in 2 weeks. How do you spend the next 14 days?
I feel sort of like I'm already post-op.
I feel the same way. It's like brain fog.
Yeah, my memory's not so good. I'm not very intelligent. But you know, I still am functioning.
Yeah, I
can get in your DMs.
Yeah, if you can do that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's how do you spend the next... more than that, it's more like, is it worth getting the surgery? And also, what makes your personality? Is it kind of how you see the world and how you're able to break down the complexities of it? Or is it more how you communicate with humans and people around you?
So
I know, right. I just threw a lot at you.
Yeah. So if I'm sitting in my doctor's office, he says, I've got bad news, I've got good news, and I've got kind of news.
Well, do you want to let's act it out?
Okay, so you're the patient.
Okay,
and we're the doctor.
We're the doctor. Well, hey. I'll be the nurse. You can be the doctor. I'll be your sexy nurse.
Okay.
Okay.
I really appreciate that you brought this nurse in because a lot of times these are just like one on one, but it's nice to have a third party.
I love being here with my doctor.
Janice is my right hand woman, so I bring her everywhere because she has, you know, I'm a man. I've got the intelligence, and Janice has the bedside manner.
I have the bedside manner.
Oh, is this like bad news or why?
She's got the bedside manner, but you should see, if you like her bedside manner, you should get her in the bed because I'll tell you, that manner is even better.
I'm Doctor! Sorry, are you in 2019 telling me right now that you are having an affair with a coworker?
It's not an affair if it's love.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but congrats. And I'm just curious what... you know, it's not often that you come into a doctor's office just for a meeting, you know,
right,
so I'm
right.
Very curious what the results were.
Well, okay, I've got this folder here. I'm going to open it and you're going to see a picture.
Oh, it's
and then you'll good. See, you'll have a reaction.
Okay. Oh my God, what? Did you just draw a picture of my brain?
I did that. Isn't that fun?
She used the finger paints.
Okay. It's sort of like a Rorschach. I mean, I feel like I don't exactly know what you're trying to tell me with this finger-painted painting of a brain.
Okay, well, first she did the handprint.
Yeah, it's made like a turkey.
Yeah, I made a turkey. I love turkey.
Don't you, babe? She loves it. She'll eat a whole turkey in one sitting.
A whole turkey in one sitting.
That's so fascinating. And but is there like a Do I have a turkey brain?
No, silly. That's no turkey. So I started with a turkey, but now see that where the head of the turkey was, that's you. And then those are your two arms and your two legs, and they're up like that. And then and then this dot on top of your head, that's a tumor.
What? This is the thing. You've got a brain tumor.
I have a brain tumor.
Like in Phenomenon.
How, like, oh, the...
The John Travolta movie. I love Phenomenon. I can watch Phenomenon all day.
She can. She can watch it three times.
I'll watch it three times in one sitting.
In Phenomenon, is John Travolta an angel?
That's mm-hmm. Michael. You're thinking of Michael. Another fantastic movie.
I'm sorry. I thought it was called Michael the Phenomenon. I always conflate those. But could you tell me, what does this mean? How is this serious?
It's very serious. Brain tumors are always, we take them seriously.
I've heard that.
Sometimes they go away on their own.
Is that so?
Unfortunately for you, you don't have one of the ones that's going to go away on its own. So I'm going to have to get in there with my tools, and I'm going to have to take it out if you want to live.
He's got the best tools, though. He's the best. He's like a miracle worker with his tools.
If I don't take it out and I decide, no, I just want to just go with it for a while, how long do I have?
You live forever, but I had it done.
Wait, this you'll is live the thing. Forever no, no, and no, you no. had it done?
Janice, no, she doesn't understand complex situations, so this is what's happening.
But I'm starting to understand why she's here.
Okay, so I brought her in as an example. So... Janice was a very confident nurse. She came to me. She had oopsies in her brain. She had a tumor in her brain. I said, Janice, you can either live. You have 14. Okay, nope. Janice, you're either going to die for certain. You're going to die, or I'm going to take your tumor out. But when I do, you're not going to be able to understand complex thoughts. You're going to basically be what we used to call before it was politically incorrect, a simpleton.
Okay, can I ask you a personal question? Did your relationship with Janice start after the surgery?
No, I knew you were going to ask that. That's a valid question. No, the relationship...
No, we were so... We were
already... You guys were intimate before.
We were intimate before, all right?
Yes, and I love the doctor.
Unrelated, honestly, for me. At this point, I'm hearing about the tumor. Your relationship is becoming less important.
But okay. Anyway, so Janice, before this, I mean, you've heard Hillary Clinton speak.
Sure.
Right, that was what Janice was
I
like
I love
before.
Hillary Clinton speaking. I'll listen to Hillary Clinton all day, every day. I just think she's so smart.
Right.
Cool.
And
cool.
So
that's
now,
really great to hear.
As so, you can see, Janice is more like on the level of...
she's pretty.
She's pretty. She's sweet. Honey, what's your favorite color?
All of it.
Oh, man. So this is what would happen to me if I get this surgery? I'm going to become pretty and sweet and not have a favorite color?
Well, I meant to say rainbow, uh-oh. But right. I said all it.
Yeah, well, it's common. You know, it's a Hillary slip up.
Now, I will say, Janice, 100 times happier now after the surgery than before. Before that, you had so many worries, didn't you, honey?
I worried so much. I worried all day.
So are you on a level where you can, like, you know, like balance a checkbook?
I balance all sorts of things. Balance a book, balance a ball. I'll balance. Give me that stapler. See?
Okay.
But she's.
That is good.
She can function as an independent adult.
I have an apartment.
Okay. That's cool.
So what do you say?
Well, all right. So, but if I don't do it, I'm dead. That's it.
But yeah, that's it.
Okay. I have like whatever, months to live, tops. And if I do it, this is me. And okay. You know, I feel like if I can still, like, sometimes it feels like ignorance is bliss, maybe. You know, when I walked in here at first, I saw this nurse here, and she's wearing this low-cut dress, and I don't know if that's a nightgown, and it really spooked me at first. I thought this was going to be weird, but now I see the genius in having her here and helping me to understand this procedure and what's going to happen to me, and I see her, and I go, yeah, I want that life. I liked Hillary. I want that life.
You're going to be running all around town in a tank top and short shorts, living your best life. You're just going to be happy to be alive.
Let's suit him up, doctor. Let's do it.
Oh, is it?
Want to do it now?
Do I need to like fast or anything?
Hey, listen, what about this? I'll give you 2 weeks.
Okay.
Come back. We'll make an appointment. Janice will get an appointment on the books for you. I'll see you in 2 weeks. So the next 2 weeks, you're going to want to get your things in order. Maybe, I don't know, read a book. If you never read Dostoevsky, check that out.
You think that I should spend the next 2 weeks reading Dostoevsky?
Because you're not going to be able to get through it. Okay.
So it took me 2 weeks to read the front, to read the cover.
What did it say?
It said, hey, keep going.
Oh, was that the, oh yeah, that was Dostoevsky's famous novel, Hey, Keep Going.
Well, it was just a post-it that was on it.
Oh.
All right. And scene. Oh, Janice is nice.
Janice is so cute.
I would love to meet Janice in real life.
Your point about like, would you be happier not really being able to understand complex issues? I think maybe yes.
Well, and don't we, I mean, I guess that are you somehow happier, or are you just dumb? Because I feel like, you know, we all worry so much, and especially in a world where we're like all getting the news all day and we're wrapped up in every single terrible story emotionally, like, after the surgery, would I not be like that? Would I be like, oh, I guess this president's fine, or he's funny?
I don't know. It's like, do you guys know people who are kind of dim?
Well, it's. I don't. Here's the thing. There's something very endearing to me about people, and I don't hang out with them because there's nothing to talk about much, but you see them on the internet and stuff like that, who don't see the world the way someone so self-aware sees it, where it's just kind of like, I don't know, I guess some people might call those kinds of people basic.
That's, I guess, the scale I'm trying to understand. Yeah. Is this a basic person? Is this like what
they you know, take whatever's fed to them, and it is what it is.
Is this like Instagram model person, or is this someone, or is this, you know, like, this is Lenny from Of Mice and Men?
I think it's more that. I think, but you're not quite to that scale. Like, I know someone. I have someone in my life who's older, and they are. So they're not. All the marbles are not there.
And is Matt listening to this now?
But they seem very happy. But they have a small life. They have a simple life.
It's like Toodles and Hook, and he's looking for his marbles.
Kind of, but you're not dissatisfied.
But that is a bummer.
Well, he finds
them. That bums me out, though.
But he found them.
But I don't think you're going to, your moral compass is going to shift. It's just that you might not understand the complexities of single payer healthcare versus, you know, like,
well, I don't understand
or the multiverse.
Or the multiverse, example. But you'd be
like all of us.
I just want everyone to be happy.
Well, you couldn't, like, let's put it this way. You couldn't ever be pushed to your intellectual limits by reading or consuming or talking to anyone. Where you are is where you'd always be.
So maybe you're like incredibly present. And you're just in the moment, and you have this incredible ability to just be in the moment and listen and feel the seat underneath you and the ground beneath you and just love life. That sounds kind of wonderful.
Yeah, I think so too.
You can still be like a hot dude.
You'd be a hot shot. But the sad part to me is that's all fine. And yes, then you're kind of like this person that's there for other people, like this conduit for people being able to just talk to you but would you be appreciating the ground beneath you?
Yeah, what are your opinions?
I just feel like,
yeah, as that person, like, what are your opinions?
I don't think you can. I think it's just kind of like, I look at, Amanda's got this tree in her office. I look at the tree and I go, that's a tree. Like, I'm not able, like, if I listen to a song, I just go like, that's a song. I'm not able to break down the complexities or know why, or like.
Are you, so if you're petting the girl's hair because it's really soft and you accidentally strangle her, like Lenny of Mice and Men?
Yeah. I don't think it's like that. You know, right now we all are people who have depth And
I've met some of those.
Yeah. And like we can like hear a song and understand subtext.
Yeah.
Or we can have a subtle conversation with someone and read between the lines. You mm-hmm. don't have that anymore. But we're still
everything's face value.
I think that's part of it. And I think it's also like you just, you know, like teenagers are sometimes like this.
Yes.
Where they're kind of just like, just not a lot going on.
But the one thing that a teenager has going on that might be a bummer to return to is being like emotionally unhinged or untethered
right.
a little bit. Would I be going back to feeling like that spectrum of insanity?
I don't think so, because you also, maybe your emotions are like a little bit more dulled or something.
I'm not just totally brain dead. I'm functioning, and I can actually like go to a party and people go, I like that guy. He's really sweet.
Oh no, they'll definitely be saying that. Like I, but also there's something off with him. He's very nice, but you know,
you're not gonna like attract a partner necessarily because they're gonna go, you know, he's really sweet.
You have nothing to add. Like you would lose your sense of humor.
Should we try and pretend we've all had the procedure? Yeah, and let's have a conversation, kind of just like as ourselves.
See how it feels.
Well, one of us should be normal, right? Or no?
Let's just try and be all okay. Simpletons.
Let's all be simple.
Hi, Maria. Hi, Adam.
That's a very interesting green sweater that you're wearing.
Thank you. I got it at the store. It's so soft. I feel cozy. I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too.
What are your favorite foods?
Milk.
You like milk?
I like milk sometimes.
I like milk, too, but not thin milk, only fat milk.
I like fat milk.
Cereal milk.
I'm witnessing a regular conversation that I've seen you guys have.
This isn't different. It's just like, how are you feel? Like, it's just like...
Do you think there's a person who is faced with this and has a true understanding of what's on the other end, and they go, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy these last 6 months of being me, and I don't want to live for another 40 years where I'm a burden or I'm not myself.
That would scare me so... That would really, really scare me, because you just... Once you're in it, you're trapped in it, and you wouldn't know any other reality. You wouldn't be... But already, who's to say we're not already like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
The simulation.
The multiverse.
Multiverse, the Spider-Verse.
I'm not smart in this one.
I'm not either. What I would want to do is I would say the only way that I could wrap my head around this would be to go, okay, so I'm going to set up my life. I know what I know now. And after this surgery, I'm going to have a very specific life that I'm going to set up, where I'm going to try and get involved in like community service. Because I know that like that's a very simple idea of like helping other people. And I feel like that can be fulfilling to you. Because otherwise, I'm afraid I'd just watch TV all day.
Well, and think about that. I mean, all of us here are creators. We'd all lose, probably, I'm assuming, the thing that we do.
Yeah. I think you would.
But then again, we wouldn't care. I mean, there's is something so when you look at people who are just so comfortable in the simple lives they lead, whatever those are, I do look at people like that and I go like, "Oh, I wish I wasn't always searching for something else. I wish I could just be at peace with the life that I'm living."
In some ways it'd be really freeing, because I think we're all kind of heady. And like maybe a little bit neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that would all be lifted.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Just picture this for a second. You hear you're getting the surgery. You set up your after surgery life.
Mm-hmm.
And what you did is you bought a tiny little property in Fiji. You're going to sell. Yes. You have got a little coconut stand. And what you do is you pick coconuts.
Yeah.
And then you sell them on the side of the road. And then you get home by sunset and you sit and you watch the sunset on the ocean, and you drink a Mai Tai, and you have a dog, and you just walk around Fiji, and you just live this idyllic life where, you know...
But you're alone.
Maybe not.
Maybe you have a bud.
Or you meet an incredible person that becomes like... I mean, why would you not be loved, you know?
Right, but you wouldn't be in a relationship. There'd be no give and take.
Why? Because it doesn't mean you can't...
Well, and why would Fiji be any different than here? I mean...
Just no.
Do you think that the Fijians can't love?
No, I just, what I'm saying is, I guess my big question is if you're not being pushed creatively and intellectually, then are you, then is your purpose in life kind of, are you at a standstill?
Have you ever been held by a hammock?
Yeah.
Do you know how that feels?
Yes.
Is it pushing you creatively or intellectually?
When I was writing my screenplay about a hammock, it was.
But think about like the most, because now I'm starting to get excited about this.
I honestly think about
I'm actually like wanting this surgery.
Right.
Think about, because I'm starting to go into this, like, you know, this is like the most, Eckhart Tolle loves this guy. This is the most mindful at in the moment person, mm-hmm. where you just are in the moment because that's all you have in life. There is nothing better in the future like we think there is. The future is just another present. Mm-hmm. And so you have this guy who just, or woman, if you guys decide to get the surgery, who just lives in the moment. And when they're talking to someone, is engaged and listening.
Yeah.
Maybe isn't saying the most brilliant stuff, but is listening and bolstering this other person. And then things as simple as laying in a hammock or throwing a bone for a dog or staring at the ocean are bringing ultimate levels of joy and satisfaction, and you're not chasing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, God, it does sound great. It's like you'd be a monk, basically.
Yeah.
Just, but like probably jerking off nonstop.
Yeah. And really inappropriate places.
So you can feel in this scenario, in this, like, you can feel joy and pain and everything like that. It's just that how much money do you have? Well, it's just a matter of, so all it's changing is kind of your drive and your intellectual ability.
Yeah. So what, just to circle back around, how would you spend the 14 days before you got the surgery? I would probably be creative. Like, I would try and write down some of my memories, like, as I feel about them now, you know?
I don't know. There's something so sad to the idea of losing your voice, of how you see the world, right? As freeing as that may be, that's sad because...
But do you lose the way you see the world or your ability to...
You lose your sense of humor because you lose the intelligence that you had. You do lose who you were.
But you like rediscover movies like Ace Ventura and Billy Madison because they're so easy to get.
Yeah, but I already like those.
Yeah.
Okay. So
not much might change for you.
You might be fine.
I like those movies. Doesn't that make you sad, though, to think that you would...
Like, well, it raises a really interesting question of like those final 14 days. Do you in those final 14 days, like, try to write out some sort of like manifesto of this is who I was so that you can have that to leave behind? Or do you spend those 14 days connecting with close people for the last time as who you were?
Yeah, that's what you do. But this is like, Maria, you're obsessed with that TV show Little Bear, which is the cartoon, and it's just like Little Bear living in the forest with his bear family, and in one episode, Uncle Bear is coming to town, and the whole episode is they're just like baking a cake for Uncle Bear.
Uncle Bear is weird. He has that red handkerchief.
Is it like made for like pre-K kids?
Yeah, it's Maurice Sondak, and it's a cartoon that was on Nick Jr. It was a book, and then it made it into a cartoon of Nick Jr. in the late 90s. But yeah, it's for kids, but it's all like kind of watercolor painted. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking about that. But it's just slow living. It's slow living in the forest. They're putting on plays. They're drinking lemonade. Uncle comes to visit. They chop down a tree, make wood for the fire.
I think if you're being honest, you totally long for a simpler life.
For sure. But I long for it with also having the outlook I have.
Would your outlook change? It seems like it's not your outlook that changes. It would be your way of defining your outlook, in a sense. It would be more of like, you wouldn't know the math equation to describe what makes you you, but you would still be you.
Would you?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
That's the big question.
Okay, this is what you'd be like, Maria. In the morning, you'd wake up and you'd go, I want chocolate croissant. And then you'd go get your chocolate croissant, and then
you wouldn't say, "Oh, that's not healthy." You wouldn't go through that anxiety. That
no, she doesn't say that anyway. And in the afternoon, you'd say, "I'm going to take a nap now."
This is just my life.
And then you'd wake up at
You're just changing the location. You're just changing the location. No, it would be, it would, you'd be living your life without the self-awareness you have now, because your intelligence would be, I would not be who I am. Now, I'm not saying who I am isn't a prison, that I am not clawing my way out of constantly. I'm not saying that I'm not trapped in here and I'm going, get me the hell out. I've created a prison for myself and I'll never not be this person, please. But I don't want to go all the way out of this person to where I'm just, I'm not the Maria. But who is the Maria? And is she working?
Because what maybe we're talking about is saying, or what we're sort of asking ourselves is, are we just eliminating ego? Because basically what all of this stuff that you're talking about is ego, where you're trying to decide like, well, am I still me?
Yeah.
But the you that you think you are is not actually who you are.
No. No, but are we all afraid to be who we really are because we've created this version of ourselves that people see?
Yeah, you've created this character that now you have to fulfill for the rest of your life.
And it's a bummer because the character I've created...
character's not that great.
It's not that great and no one wants to buy it. It's completely unsellable.
Are you for sale?
Could be. Basically.
Yeah, it would be really scary, but mostly I'd be scared that the reasons why I would... Oh, I got to do this. I still would have wanted.
How did you see that?
I just felt it. My computer screensaver had gone on.
But how did you know?
Was it going to go to sleep and then everything goes to, like, they just burn it up?
I was scared that it was, when it went to sleep, it would stop recording.
Because Amanda was looking at us and I saw the screensaver was on, and then Amanda said, oh, I have to do this, and turned around.
You know what? I saw it reflected in your eyes.
Did you really?
Maybe.
Well, my screensaver was on in my eyes.
I know the way Maria watches a screensaver.
You could see like Maria, you could see photographs from Maria's life were kind of drifting past her eyes, and you were like, oh, Maria's screensaver is on.
All my iTunes cover albums were popping up,
and she's like, oh, her screensaver's on, maybe mine's on. Let me turn around and check.
My flying toasters.
Yeah. Maybe we should just get the surgery and, because you only get this one life, and why end it? Why let it go? See, it's a mystery. It's a journey. It could be something, something beautiful could come out of it.
Yeah.
And maybe you do meet like your partner. You do, you know, you meet somebody who's on that level. It's like a yoga instructor or something.
Yeah. A surfer.
I would take up surfing for sure, because I wouldn't be afraid of the water that much. I couldn't completely say I'd not be afraid of the water.
I would just like start an animal sanctuary or something.
Yeah, I would just send emails out to people.
No, I'm the worst.
I would just be chain like, what mail. If it's really what you become is like the that person that sends you those forwards all the time, and you're just sending these chain letters, and they're like these very Fox News types ideas. Yeah. Maybe you're just so gullible now that you're like a fake news machine.
Well, you would just kind of take what came at you, and you wouldn't be able to decipher. You wouldn't be able to critical think. But it's all, ignorance is bliss. You'd be happy. So, I mean, if I'm going to die or I'm going to be happy, let's get it.
Oh, this reminds me of a little quote.
What?
From Jimi Hendrix. If ignorance is bliss.
No, Amanda.
Then wipe this smile
you
off.
You said it was Jim Morrison before, and now you're saying it's... She thinks this is a quote.
It's true, isn't it? Or is it?
So we're all getting it, I guess?
Yeah, I think we get it. I think it's like going to get a piercing at the mall together. We all go get this surgery.
Yeah.
And...
But then we'd all be friends, and we'd all... You know?
It might be something that, like, the idea here is just do it with a friend.
Yeah. Don't do it alone.
Don't do it alone.
Have a buddy. Take a buddy.
Take a tumor buddy.
Well, God, that's going to make me think.
Hey, I know.
You hit on it with ego, though. That's what the fear is that you're not going to be good,
I'll lose
cool
myself.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we all kind of.
But who are we?
Yeah.
And what masks we're wearing? Take them off. I want the surgery where the doctor takes off this mask that I've been creating.
Like a peel.
It makes your skin look great.
I want a peel.
I want a peel, and I want just the mask off. It's stuck. Help. Okay, so now, Adam, we're going to do a Dear Big Ones,
oh,
where
I love
a listener
it.
writes in, and this is going to be just random. Okay, Amanda?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is, you don't even, Amanda, you're sitting here going, what's coming at me?
I'm blind.
Wow.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay. Hello, Marie and Amanda. I have a little big one for you. I have a friend who has a unisex first name. In their country, the name is usually used for one sex, and in the U.S., the other. It is quite common through
email. It's Michelle.
Is it?
I bet.
Yeah, I bet it is. It is quite common through email conversation that people assume they are the other sex. It doesn't bother them at all and often does not and they often do not correct people unless it is needed or if that person knows someone else who knows them. Thing is that they also worry that if people find out, they might find it strange that they did not correct them and that they might think my friend could have been being deceitful. So the question is, should they correct people right away? And if they have already left it with someone for a few emails, should they tell them now and how? Thanks again for all the smiles, belly laughs, and entertainment. I have a solution.
I do too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Put your pronouns at the bottom of your email signature. That's a new thing that everyone's
what?
Doing.
What? How does
you
it
put
look?
Your pronouns. You know, you can put like sent from an iPhone.
Yeah.
You put like, I would put like she, hers, like she, hers.
Seashells.
Seashells.
She, hers, seashells by the seashore.
Yeah, but people, I see that all
one
the time.
Smart, mine would be one smart fellow. He felt smart.
Mine would be just to put a sexy photo at the bottom of yourself.
Yeah, I would put a sexy, but or yeah, a sexy photo of like who you would like to look like.
Yeah,
I see, but a man or a woman depending on your
yeah.
So this is all email related. It's yeah. not so. Yeah. This is a woman or a man who has this name that works as the opposite sex in other places, and in their emails, people are writing back going, "So nice to meet you, dude."
Yeah.
And instead of, let's say it's a woman correcting and saying, oh, I'm not a dude, she yeah. just lets it go. And then they meet up and they go, oh, I thought I was meeting a dude.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Hmm. And
that put those pronouns. Put
really?
Those pronouns. People are doing that all the time with their pronouns at the bottom of an email signature.
But then wouldn't it be like, isn't there a way to just be like, I don't know, like, hey, P.S., I'm a girl.
I think you could do it in a really fun way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just have I'm a little... lady.
And yeah. And by the way, I'm a lady.
BTW.
Michelle is.
What about putting, yeah, like you said, like your photo as you can like attach a photo to your.
This is what you do.
Google.
You go, hi, this is Michelle. And then you put your, I'm a woman in parentheses. By the way, I'm a guy or I'm a girl or whatever. Hi, this is Michelle.
To me, this feels very much like you don't need to say what you
are.
You
don't think you do? Because, but if it's coming...
What is the context of the email?
It's all work.
I'm looking for
a
sperm donor.
Okay, well, that's specific.
Yeah, I guess you... I don't think you need to go out of your way to correct people.
Yeah,
if it doesn't,
what does it
doesn't
matter?
It doesn't matter. But I do think you should... Honestly, more and more workplaces are having people put their pronouns in. And I know I keep saying this, but you should... If it bothers you and you want to change it, they should just put their
yeah
pronouns.
I would just get so self-conscious thinking people were thinking I was something I wasn't, like if I wasn't correcting them straight off the bat. So if I walked into a room and I saw people's eyes go like, who's that? And I'd go like, oh God, they thought I was a guy this whole time.
Is the person that is being misunderstood frustrated by
no.
it?
No.
They're not.
No, so then what do you care?
What do you care?
Yeah.
It's more like presumptuous that the people are just assuming you're... Like, I just say, don't, I kind of like, don't really use like she or they, like she
same.
Or him or her. I just say like, hey, folks, or hey, you know what I say? I don't say folks.
Hey, fuckers.
Hey, fuckers. I say, hey, all.
Yeah.
That's what
even
I
if it's one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. Hello, Legion.
I go, hi, y'all. Hi, y'all. It's me.
You just send audio messages.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all. It's Maria. Well, I'm just being me today.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
This is you after the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hi, y'all.
Southern.
Hi, that's y'all. Great. It's me.
I'm going to go sell some of these coconuts out there in Fiji.
Yeah, dude. I don't think you have to worry about it. But, you know, there's always a fun way to put it in there if they're worried about it. Or use the pronouns.
I've definitely had... Okay, well, here's some... So me and my brother, our last name is Nee. We work together. And... We used to, before anyone knew who we were and we'd have a meeting, people would assume we were going to be Asian because of our last name, Nee.
Oh.
And definitely we would walk into rooms and people would be like, oh, we thought you guys were going to be Asian.
Interesting.
And that's something where it feels like that's fine for them to think that. Why would we ever really need to clarify that? It shouldn't change whether or not the meeting is happening. You know, like why do you need to clarify unless it's like a date? You know?
Yes.
And someone's like, I didn't want to date you unless you are Asian.
Or yeah, exactly.
Or no, like, but in this case, straight.
Like, if you like ask this person out thinking it's a girl and you find out it's a guy, like that's obviously, yeah, let's clarify it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It really shouldn't matter.
A man and I have gone into meetings together and people saying, we thought you were going to be funny. And then,
so now we have started clarifying before meetings.
Hey, we're going to come in here and be kind of dry and not make jokes, and this is not going to be a fun time.
Yeah. Or that you probably won't. You probably won't get it.
We're coming in here with jokes that don't work.
Yeah, so that just don't work.
Just sit back, and we're going to chat. It's just total general meeting. We're going to tell you where you're from.
Whatever. Yeah, we're going to be straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing funny here, folks.
We wrote a show. It doesn't work. None of the jokes are good.
This doesn't work.
Never has, never will.
Hi, y'all. This doesn't work.
That's actually a good way to go in. Because like an actor's greatest skill is going into an audition and acting like they don't care.
That is an actor's greatest skill.
And you learn to actually not care.
Yeah, then you just finally stop actually caring.
And then you're in Fiji with your coconuts.
Coconuts.
You put the lime in the coconut and drink a bowl up. Remember that song?
This is you watching the sunset, singing to your dog. I mean, that is possible.
But then it turns out when you come to visit me that my dog is actually just two coconuts. That
you've melded together.
It's a real Wilson situation.
No. It's my dog, coconut. Yeah,
it's a volleyball.
So, Adam, did you have a good time?
Oh, I had the time of my life.
Really?
This is the best day of my life. Bar none. There's no competition.
Nice. That's nice to hear. Wow. Well, can we tell people what you're working on?
Sure.
He's working on a huge movie, Masters of the Universe.
Oh, my God.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yes. We've been on it for quite a while.
Wow. And who's in the He-Man?
Noah Centineo is He-Man.
Uh-huh.
And that's all that's cast. But it's He-Man and Skeletor, you know?
Wow.
Intergalactic, good guys, bad guys, multiverses.
Multiverse.
Yeah, Fiji. We're going to cover it all. Everything's in it. Everything's
in it. This has all been leading up to it.
Yeah, tumors, surgeries, simple characters.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's fun.
And then what else are you working on?
That's taking up most of our lives and has for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we write, my brother and I. But yeah, that's what we're doing.
But you can watch his movie Band of Robbers on Netflix.
And you're in it. And I forgot that when we saw each other a couple weeks ago. You remember?
Oh, did you forget?
No, I just said something about the movie.
That was the other movie I was in. You forgot.
It was the Sarah Silverman one.
Yeah, I was in a short film that
he forgot again.
He forgot. Yeah.
Maria's in everything that I make, and I forgot.
Yeah, well, it's forgettable.
I just don't, you know, after you make something, I don't go back and watch it.
You're the Johnny Depp of the film world.
Well, you watch it so much when you're editing it, that, and then you watch it at a premiere or whatever, and then you've seen it so much that it's just like colors and shapes, and you need to move on.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, I forget what you were saying, but I think it's all good.
It was movie stuff. I think it's all good, man. Well, I totally wasn't paying attention just now, but I think you're absolutely right, and it's all good, good, good.
It's all good.
Yeah. Can't argue with that, sir, because I can't remember what you said.
It's all good, y'all. Do you want people to follow you on Twitter or anything, or Instagram?
Sure, I don't really get on the Twitter so much, but if you want to see Instagram stories of my dog, it's at Adam Nee. Yeah.
Your Instagram stories are good. You post funny movies.
Yeah, I have a good time.
And you just slide into his DMs to watch those.
You just have to hack into my Instagram to be able to see those. You have to log in to see my stories. You log into mine, I'll log into yours. Yeah. Just send me your login and password and I'll watch your stories as well.
That's gone nuts.
If you want me to, that's how I email people too. So just give me your email password and I will get it on and I will look at the email that you want to send to me.
And you guys can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. Send us your big ones, your little big ones. Join our Patreon and we will answer your Patreon mail faster than we'll answer your regular emails because we don't get as many Patreon emails.
That's right.
And then you can go to our Instagram. You don't have an Instagram.
At 778_Brandon.
We have a Twitter.
Yeah, say it.
Twitter big ones. At Twitter big ones.
At the big ones pod on Twitter. Other than that.
Other than that, it's all good, man. I think it's all good.
We're in a goofy mood.
All right. Well, thanks so much,
Adam.
Thanks
so much for having me.
For being on. And then we'll all say the big ones together at the end. Like a joyous chorus.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to
The Big Ones.
Earios.
Powered by ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.